Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Whatever inspired Jewish author Marcus Eli Ravage to write this frank admission of the Jewish role, and a malicious role it was, in exporting Christianity to the white world is not known with certainty. This piece, A Real Case Against the Jews, contains some unjustified boasting, some psychological flimflam, and some ducking of criticism of real and destructive Jewish traits. Overall, it embodies an attitude of assumed superiority, of thinking that his confused white audience just won't really get it, and will be so attached to the alien religion the Jews imposed on them over 1,000 years ago, that the whites' reaction will be to become too embarrassed to criticize Jews anymore. You can almost hear Ravage laughing. Despite all these flaws, I believe Ravage's main point is correct. For all his boasting and ducking, his thesis hits home powerfully, and for Christians, exactly where it hurts, and ought to hurt. This piece of Ravage's, along with his Commissary to the Gentiles, which I'd like to feature on a future show, form a necessary part of the education of every white man and woman who intends to take part in making a future for our people. Today, newly recorded, and for the first time on this program, and the first time in audio form on National Vanguard, we bring you Miss Vanessa Neubauer and her reading of A Real Case Against the Jews. Listen.
A Real Case Against the Jews. One of them points out the full depth of their guilt. By Marcus Eli Ravage. Published in the Century Magazine, January 1928. Volume 115, number 3, pages 346 to 350. Written by a Jewish author and originally published in the Century Magazine in January 1928, this article asserts that if whites understood the depths to which Jews control our countries and their institutions of power, and the way in which they wield that power in an effort to destroy our interests, we would rise up and eradicate them immediately. Of course, you do resent us. It is no good telling me you don't. So let us not waste any time on denials and alibis. You know you do, and I know it, and we understand each other. To be sure, some of your best friends are Jews and all that. I have heard that before once or twice, I think. And I know, too, that you do not include me personally. Me being any particular individual Jew. When you fling out at us in your wholesale fashion, because I am, well, so different, don't you know, almost as good as one of yourselves. That little exemption does not, somehow, move me to gratitude. But never mind that now. It is the aggressive, climbing, pushing, materialistic sort you dislike. Those, in a word, who remind you so much of your own up-and-coming brethren. We understand each other perfectly. I don't hold it against you. Bless my soul, I do not blame anybody for disliking anybody. The thing that intrigues me about this anti-Jewish business, as you play at it, is your total lack of grit. You are so indirect and roundabout with it. You make such fantastic and transparent excuses. You seem to be suffering from self-consciousness so horribly that if the performance were not grotesque, it would be irritating. It is not as if you were amateurs. You have been at it for over 15 centuries. Yet watching you and hearing your childish pretexts, one might get the impression that you did not know yourselves what it is all about. You resent us, but you cannot clearly say why. You think up a new excuse. A reason is what you call it. Every other day. You have been piling up justifications for yourselves these many hundreds of years, and each new invention is more laughable than the last, and each new excuse contradicts and annihilates the last. Not so many years ago, I used to hear that we were money grubbers and commercial materialists. Now the complaint is being whispered around that no art and no profession is safe against Jewish invasion. We are, if you are to be believed, at once clannish and exclusive and unassimilable because we won't intermarry with you, and we are also climbers and pushers and a menace to your racial integrity. Our standard of living is so low that we create your slums and sweated industries, and so high that we crowd you out of your best residential sections. We shirk our patriotic duty in wartime, because we are pacifists by nature and tradition, and we are the arch plotters of universal wars and the chief beneficiaries of those wars. See the late Dearborn Independent, Passim, and the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. We are at once the founders and leading adherents of capitalism and the chief perpetrators of the rebellion against capitalism. Surely history has nothing like us for versatility. And oh, I almost forgot the reason of reasons. We are the stiff-necked people who never accepted Christianity, and we are the criminal people who crucified its founder. But I tell you, you are self-deceivers. You lack either the self-knowledge or the mettle to face the facts squarely and own up to the truth. You resent the Jew not because, as some of you seem to think, he crucified Jesus, but because he gave him birth. Your real quarrel with us is not that we have rejected Christianity, but that we have imposed it upon you. Your loose, contradictory charges against us are not a patch on the blackness of our proved historic offense. You accuse us of stirring up revolution in Moscow. Suppose we admit the charge. What of it? Compared with what Paul the Jew of Tarsus accomplished in Rome, the Russian upheaval is a mere street brawl. You make much noise and fury about the undue Jewish influence in your theaters and movie palaces. Very good. Granted, your complaint is well-founded. But what is that compared to our staggering influence in your churches, your schools, your laws, and your governments, and the very thoughts that you think every day? A clumsy Russian forges a set of papers and publishes them in a book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which shows that we plotted to bring on the late World War. You believe that book. All right. For the sake of argument, we will underwrite every word of it. It is genuine and authentic. But what is that beside the unquestionable historical conspiracy which we have carried out, which we have never denied because you never had the courage to charge us with it, and of which the full record is extant for anybody to read? If you really are serious when you talk of Jewish plots, may I not direct your attention to one worth talking about? What use is it wasting words on the alleged control of your public opinion by Jewish financiers, newspaper owners, and movie magnates, when you might as well justly accuse us of the proved control of your whole civilization by the Jewish Gospels? You have not begun to appreciate the real depth of our guilt. We are intruders. We are disturbers. We are subverters. We have taken your natural world, your ideals, your destiny, and played havoc with them. We have been at the bottom not merely of the latest great war, but of nearly all your wars. Not only of the Russian, but of every other major revolution in your history. We have brought discord and confusion and frustration into your personal and public life. We are still doing it. No one can tell how long we shall go on doing it. Look back a little and see what has happened. 1900 years ago, you were an innocent, carefree, pagan race. You worshipped countless gods and goddesses, the spirits of the air, of the running streams, and of the woodland. You took unblushing pride in the glory of your naked bodies. You carved images of your gods and of the tantalizing human figure. You delighted in the combats of the field, the arena, and the battleground. War and slavery were fixed institutions in your systems. Disporting yourselves on the hillsides and in the valleys of the great outdoors, you took to speculating on the wonder and mystery of life, and laid the foundations of natural science and philosophy. Yours was a noble, sensual culture, unirked by the prickings of a social conscience, or by any sentimental questionings about human equality. Who knows what great and glorious destiny might have been yours if we had left you alone? But we did not leave you alone. We took you in hand and pulled down the beautiful and generous structure you had reared, and changed the whole course of your history. We conquered you as no empire of yours ever subjugated Africa or Asia. And we did it all without armies, without bullets, without blood or turmoil, without force of any kind. We did it solely by the irresistible might of our spirit, with ideas, with propaganda. We made you the willing and unconscious bearers of our mission to the whole world, to the barbarous races of the earth, to the countless unborn generations. Without fully understanding what we were doing to you, you became the agents at large of our racial tradition, carrying our gospel to the unexplored ends of the earth. Our tribal customs have become the core of your moral code. Our tribal laws have furnished the basic groundwork of all your august constitutions and legal systems. Our legends and our folk tales are the sacred lore which you croon to your infants. Our poets have filled your hymnals and your prayer books. Our national history has become an indispensable part of the learning of your pastors and priests and scholars. Our kings, our statesmen, our prophets, our warriors are your heroes. Our ancient little country is your holy land. Our national literature is your holy Bible. What our people thought and taught has become inextricably woven into your very speech and tradition, until no one among you can be called educated who is not familiar with our racial heritage. Jewish artisans and Jewish fishermen are your teachers and your saints, with countless statues carved in their image and innumerable cathedrals raised to their memories. A Jewish maiden is your ideal of motherhood and womanhood. A Jewish rebel prophet is the central figure in your religious worship. We have pulled down your idols, cast aside your racial inheritance, and substituted for them our God and our traditions. No conquest in history can even remotely compare with this clean sweep of our conquest over you. How did we do it? Almost by accident. 2,000 years ago, nearly, in far-off Palestine, our religion had fallen into decay and materialism. Money changers were in possession of the temple. Degenerate, selfish priests mulcted our people and grew fat. Then a young patriot idealist arose and went about the land calling for a revival of faith. He had no thought of setting up a new church. Like all the prophets before him, his only aim was to purify and revitalize the old creed. He attacked the priests and drove the money changers from the temple. This brought him into conflict with the established order and its supporting pillars. The Roman authorities, who were in occupation of the country, fearing his revolutionary agitation as a political effort to oust them, arrested him, tried him, and condemned him to death by crucifixion, a common form of execution at that time. The followers of Jesus of Nazareth, mainly slaves and poor workmen, in their bereavement and disappointment, turned away from the world and formed themselves into a brotherhood of pacifist non-resistors, sharing the memory of their crucified leader and living together communistically. They were merely a new sect in Judea, without power or consequence, neither the first nor the last. Only after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans did the new creed come into prominence. Then a patriotic Jew named Paul, or Saul, conceived the idea of humbling the Roman power by destroying the morale of its soldiery with the doctrines of love and non-resistance preached by the little sect of Jewish Christians. He became the apostle to the Gentiles, he who hitherto had been one of the most active persecutors of the band. And so well did Paul do his work that within 4 centuries the great empire which had subjugated Palestine, along with half of the world, was a heap of ruins. And the law which went forth from Zion became the official religion of Rome. This was the beginning of our dominance in your world. But it was only a beginning. From this time forth, your history is little more than a struggle for mastery between your old pagan spirit and our Jewish spirit. Half your wars, great and little, are religious wars, fought over the interpretation of one thing or another in our teachings. You no sooner broke free from your primitive religious simplicity and attempted the practice of the pagan Roman learning, then Luther, armed with our Gospels, arose to down you and re-enthrone our heritage. Take the 3 principal revolutions in modern times, the French, the American, and the Russian. What are they but the triumph of the Jewish idea of social, political, and economic justice? And the end is still a long way off. We still dominate you. At this very moment, your churches are torn asunder by a civil war between fundamentalists and modernists. That is to say, between those who cling to our teachings and traditions literally and those who are striving by slow steps to dispossess us. In Dayton, Tennessee, a Bible-bred community forbids the teaching of your science because it conflicts with our ancient Jewish account of the origin of life. And Mr. Bryan, the leader of the anti-Jewish Ku Klux Klan, in the Democratic National Convention, makes the supreme fight of his life in our behalf, without noticing the contradiction. Again and again, the Puritan heritage of Judea breaks out in waves of stage censorship, Sunday blue laws, and national prohibition acts. And while these things are happening, you twaddle about Jewish influence in the movies. Is it any wonder you resent us? We have put a clog upon your progress. We have imposed upon you an alien book and an alien faith which you cannot swallow or digest, which is at cross purposes with your native spirit, which keeps you everlastingly ill at ease, and which you lack the spirit either to reject or to accept it in full. In full, of course, you never have accepted our Christian teachings. In your hearts, you still are pagans. You still love war and graven images and strife. You still take pride in the glory of the nude human figure. Your social conscience, in spite of all democracy and all your social revolutions, is still a pitifully imperfect thing. We have merely divided your soul, confused your impulses, paralyzed your desires. In the midst of battle, you were obliged to kneel down to him who commanded you to turn the other cheek, who said, "Resist not evil," and, "Blessed are the peacemakers." In your lust for gain, you are suddenly disturbed by a memory from your Sunday school days about taking no thought for the morrow. In your industrial struggles, when you would smash a strike without compunction, you are suddenly reminded that the poor are blessed and that men are brothers in the fatherhood of the Lord. And as you are about to yield to temptation, your Jewish training puts a deterrent hand on your shoulder and dashes the brimming cup from your lips. You Christians have never become Christianized. To that extent, we have failed with you. But we have forever spoiled the fun of paganism for you. So why should you not resent us? If we were in your place, we should probably dislike you more cordially than you do us. But we should make no bones about telling you why. We should not resort to subterfuges and transparent pretexts. With millions of painfully respectable Jewish shopkeepers all about us, We should not insult your intelligence and our own honesty by talking about communism as a Jewish philosophy. And with millions of hard-working, impecunious Jewish peddlers and laborers, we should not make ourselves ridiculous by talking about international capitalism as a Jewish monopoly. No, we should go straight to the point. We should contemplate this confused, ineffectual muddle which we call civilization, this half-Christian, half-pagan medley, and, were our places reversed, we should say to you point blank, for this mess, thanks to you, to your prophets, and to your Bible.
You've been listening to Miss Vanessa Neubauer presenting her new audio version of Marcus Eli Ravage's A Real Case Against the Jews, one of the most important Jewish admissions and one of the most important educational pieces for any man or woman who wants to understand how the world really works, right here on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. The National Alliance is working to educate white men and women around the world as to the nature of the reality we must face and organizing our people to ensure our survival and advancement. We very much need your help. To continue, it is almost impossible in today's environment for those who advocate for our race to have an ordinary source of income. Keep us publishing, keep us on the air, keep us advocating for you by sending your contribution to National Alliance, Box 4, Mountain City, Tennessee, 37683, USA. Or help us by visiting natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Once again, our postal address is Box 4, Mountain City, Tennessee, 37683 USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to do right and fear no one.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.